Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jean-Paul Lavoisier, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Tune in. It's a blast. Stardish Radio. Today is Tuesday, January. I don't know why I keep saying we're in January. Tuesday, June 25th, 2008. And like I said, it's Stardish Radio. And couple notes here. I just want to make sure everybody tunes in tomorrow night for Miss Megan Ward, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to bring on my special guest host, Mr. Tony. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Joanne. Good evening, everybody. Good evening to you, and good evening, everybody, on the Block Talk Radio Network. How is everybody doing tonight on this Wednesday night?
Okay. Well, without any further ado, Tony, I'm just going to do this right quick, because we have on tonight, as you know, the multi-talented daytime legend, Miss Eileen Kristen. So we're going to bring her on the phone right now. Hi, Eileen.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little under the weather. I've got a terrible cough.
Oh.
Well, it's not going away so easily, so it's a bit of a drag.
Oh,
my voice is
sorry
very
to
low
hear
and
that.
Dirty. Oh, that's okay. But it'll be a little rough going.
Oh, you have that little sexy cold voice going on.
Yes, I do.
Well, say hi to Tony. He's
hey,
my
Tony,
special.
How are you?
I'm doing fine,
tonight.
Eileen. How about you? I know you're feeling not too good tonight. I hope you get better soon.
Thank you.
Well, Eileen, I'm so glad we were able to set this up, and very anxious to sit and dish with you.
Me too.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Tony. You can start.
Oh, sure, Amy. thanks. You put me on the spot.
Well.
No, I want you to start. Now you can start.
You want to start?
No, you start, John.
Okay.
John.
I'll
host,
make up a bunch of questions, but...
Okay. No. Eileen, what I want to start off right from the bat is saying that... As a fan, I'll start off as a fan, which I have to do, and I have told you this before. I am a big fan of your work, your acting, Ryan's Hope, One Life to Live, and I'm just going to put it right out there. I don't like how you're underused and underappreciated, so I actually found an online petition. I didn't know if you knew about it, an online petition that is going around to Mr. Brian Fonz to give you more airtime.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's been very
yes.
difficult. I wish I could say that it wasn't difficult. I don't know why it's been so difficult. I've worked for ABC for a long time. I think they know mm-hmm. what I'm capable of doing. And I've certainly had some opportunity to do it, but not of late. And of late, I just think they're using me as kind of like, oh, tell your problems to Roxy, and they've taken away what I feel is the thrust of this character. I felt like when I started doing the show, I felt like it was a really good counterpoint to a lot of the other characters on the show, because there was a certain politeness about a lot of the characters, especially a lot of people who've been on the show for a long time, and I felt Roxy really could shake things up, which I believe mm-hmm. that they really allowed me to do.
Right.
But it didn't really continue with that kind of force. And then all of a sudden, I felt as soon as they made me a hairdresser, which was kind of interesting because my dad, my beautiful late great father, I grew up in a beauty parlor. I mean, I really did. My father was a hairdresser. He had beauty
mm-hmm.
parlors in Brooklyn and in Manhattan and in Palm Beach, Florida. So
mm-hmm.
I most of my life has spent, you know, smelling, hair
product.
Hair straightener. And we all know what hair straightener smells like. It's not great.
Yeah.
But I felt that there could be a trap in that, because long ago on television, they used to have Madge the Manicurist, and everybody used to come into that commercial, and all of a sudden it was like, tell your problems to Madge. And I was really scared of that happening. And to some degree, that has happened. And I don't like being in that situation. And I don't know how to explain why I don't like that. That makes a character inactive in, to a certain degree.
Right.
And what is very problematic to me is that it looked like it was going in a very active degree with Rex's, who is Rex's father.
Yeah.
And then they really kind of dropped that, and I don't understand why. And I can't, it's, I'm trying to get some answers, and I really can't get any. And
right.
I've heard that when certain things came up with the Rex's father thing, that the boards lit up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you right now, in the chat room, there's a girl in the chat room. Her name is Haley, and she just said that she has a question that you might not be able to tell everybody who Rex's father is, but who would you want it to be?
Yeah, good question.
Well, you know, it would have been interesting had it been Mitch.
Yes, Mitch Warren, definitely.
Mitch Warren,
It might have, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Right.
But it might have been interesting. You know, that was history before I ever got on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happened, whatever happened to me happened someplace where I don't know where the history is.
Right.
It would be interesting if it was someone we maybe don't know and someone pretty like, not gangster-like, but someone kind of bad or real troubled, real troubled person.
Right.
I don't know. I think they had something in mind. And then with the writer's strike, I don't know what happened with that. I don't know. I was really so excited to be working with Barbara Garrick, who plays Allison.
She's
one of my favorite actresses.
She was a dream.
And I thought they were bringing
Roscoe back, who's one of my favorite actors.
Right.
Yeah, speaking of Roscoe Bourne, don't interrupt me, Roscoe Bourne, he's now on Days of Our Lives playing a different role now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they kind of let that ship sail away, you know.
They did.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know. But I see your point about that is, you know, it would be kind of, I mean, because it's being such a big secret, you know, I would think it would probably be best if it was some type of villain in you know, Landview. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you and I had discussed that one theory of how it could possibly be Max's kid or something like that.
Right.
But it would be more interesting
but
if
I said
it was a villain.
That would lead one to
Absolutely.
Believe that it was something worse than Max. I mean, that would have actually been a great idea. Well, I loved working with Jim DePiva, so I'd like, you know, God, I wish they'd bring him back because I thought we had amazing chemistry, and I don't know
you
that
did.
I
did. Yes,
but,
you did.
I know. But
yes,
you know
you
what? The powers that be.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Okay.
Let me just talk for a second because.
Slightly.
Because it's real weird. They were somehow bound and determined to have him not on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Why that is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention who, but certain powers said, well, you know, the audience just doesn't believe that Max could ever fall in love with you. And I went, no, he's playing that we're exact opposites, but, I think that there was such dimension to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really disagree with the person who said this to me. In fact, two producers, in a sense, said this, and I think it was part of a party line that they were supposed to. I don't think, you know, I hate to say that people lie at times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to say that, but it didn't make any sense to me. I said, you know, I'm out on the street a lot. I'm one of these people who's on the subway.
Mm-hmm,
all the time, out on the street. I make myself very available to people. Maybe too available at times, but I prefer to be that way. I grew up, I'm a street kid, and that's the way I grew up.
Right.
And that's why I think I've created a character that could be very affecting, because I'm out there in the world. I don't seclude myself. I'm not a very private person. I say what I mean, whether people want to hear it or not.
Right.
I haven't made a lot of enemies, but I've every once in a while hurt somebody who just wants to hear good things and doesn't want to hear bad things. I'm very stubborn in a way, but when I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I there are certain things about doing this show and doing this part where I know that I know what I'm doing, and I get some I get myself into trouble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I need to do scenes over again because it's just not. Am I allowed to curse?
Absolutely.
It's just not fucking good enough.
Yeah, it's internet radio. I mean, you can get away with anything over here.
Okay. It's just not fucking good enough, and I've got to do it again because I don't want to do anything less than what I did the day before, and I take some flack for it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that I'm not fast enough, that they have to stop tape sometimes. But, you know, I want it to be not just good. I want it to be great if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while I get into some trouble because they're speeding away. They're speeding away in that control room. And
right.
I see things on air sometimes. I mean, I see a lot of great things on One Life to Live, but every once in a while I say, you know, if there was just one more take on that, it would, you know,
mm-hmm.
it would be brilliant. So it's a frustrating thing sometimes when, you know, you're concerned about quality and nobody else is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and...
Well, I totally agree with you there, and everybody in the chat room is saying the same thing. Everybody is applauding your candor and saying how much they love how real and genuine you are, just so you know what's going on in there.
Well, I try to be. It hasn't... Really, on a certain level, and I'm barely on the show this summer, so
mm-hmm.
I'm confused about that. I'm hurt about that in a way because I did all that work with this Rex's father thing, and
mm-hmm.
like either they're going to drop it,
right,
or just make it something that comes up every once in a while. To what effect? I don't really understand why when you have story and you have something that could be so strong,
right,
that you want to just drop it. So
mm-hmm.
I've kind of realized that this summer is going to be about something different than I expected it to be about for me personally.
Right, right.
And I'm going to go away. Unless, you know, they've got some work for me, but, you know, I'm doing like two shows in July, two or three shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't tell a story. You can't tell a story doing that.
Right, right, right.
You can't tell any good
can't.
Story. And, you
right.
know, this is a medium where I don't want to be a second-class citizen.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not.
Right, right. They're kind of like treating you like the redheaded stepchild when
you're
devoted.
You know,
there's
a lot of stories they've got to deal with. They've got a lot of good people on that show. There's a lot of good people.
No, there is, but that shouldn't undercut you. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Ever since they've taken me off a contract, they've undercut me.
Right.
So, you know, let's talk real. That never should have gone down.
Right.
But it did.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone can explain that to me totally, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear a good explanation of that, especially after getting two Emmy nominations.
Yep,
exactly.
2004 and 2005.
Excuse me, what?
In
2004
and
2005.
Yes, thank
you. Right.
But, you know, I can't get nominated with this dribs and drabs of stuff. And
that
I know that, I know that I can make, you know, something out of anything, but I want to, you need to have story, and you need to have continuous story. I don't have to be on every day, but you need to tell a story three times a week, or else, and right now, they've just got me there as like, oh, I'll get that exposition out, and Roxy will take care of that exposition or something, and something.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's something because I pretty much really feel that they're not investing in me this summer, which makes me very sad. I think you can hear it in my voice, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's saddening. And you know what? I have someone in the chat room who's asking what they can do to help. And seriously, what you can do to help is get your pen and a piece of paper the old-fashioned way.
I think the old-fashioned way.
Mail.
I think it is.
Yes,
and the letters
mail
have to be not
the
to me. They have to be to Brian Franz and to
Frank Valentin.
And to the head writer also, and to Ron.
Ron Carlovati,
And to the writer,
And you know what? Another storyline that I was really disappointed that they dropped the ball on, and honestly, because my memory is so terrible, I don't even remember how it ended, was Roxy and Nigel.
Happened to that?
I mean, that's another crazy thing. All of a sudden, I was told, well, you know, we have two funny people together, and nobody really needs to see two funny people together. And, okay, all right. And I always think it's, you know, a rationale for something that I'll never really know the explanation of. It's, somebody gets a bug up their butt, and and it doesn't have to do with the audience at all. It just has to do with something, you know, I don't know what. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're done. We're done with that.
It's amazing.
You know, they really shortchanged Jim DePaiva and I when he left the show.
Yeah.
They took me away from him and never really had good closure on that. And that's, you feel cheated as an actor. You feel terribly cheated as an actor.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I've worked like a dog.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I have fun and it's great and everything like that, but it's a part-time job, and I don't really see myself as a part-time actress.
Right.
And yet I have to, you know, I have to eat a lot of humble pie, which sometimes is good in life for you to do that, but at this point, after working for ABC for as long as I have, that hurts.
Right.
And I don't quite understand it.
Right. Well, I mean, let's get away from all the negativity for a minute. Now,
let me just say also that there were very many possibilities with the Rex's wedding for Dorian and I to completely butt heads on that wedding.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yes.
That would have been fantastic.
But it really could have been a tour de force.
Absolutely.
You know.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That was a big ass shame right there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
True.
Because, you know, Roxy is a little feisty girl.
Yes.
I mean, everybody looks at her as, you know, just the town beautician ditzy kind of thing. But
she's smart.
When I see you, that's exactly what comes across, is she is a street girl. She don't take no crap, especially when it comes to her kid.
Exactly.
And the fact that Dorian was doing all that stuff to mess up the wedding, they should have definitely had you involved in that, possibly finding out or whatever.
Not only was I not involved with it, but Roxy didn't even know what Dorian is doing. And this has to do with my son. And I have to say that's writing that's not complete. And Ron is a terrific writer, and I know he has a love of this show that is extreme. And I have no doubt that he has a great deal of respect for me.
But
I'm not feeling the love. I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not fucking feeling it, okay?
Right.
All right. There.
You go. Well, Eileen, I wanted to ask you, because we had this conversation, did you ever figure out what in August if you would be having an event or doing the show?
Well, I was going to, and I may be going away very amazing work. It's half work, half play. And I may, you know, I may take that option to do that, because if I'm not working all that much this summer, I have to do something for me.
Right.
I haven't really totally taken a vacation of my own volition. I've taken a vacation because they've kind of given me time off. They've not been writing, so I've gone.
Right.
But something came up. It's a free trip to a very far away place.
Ooh.
And with some work possibilities. And I may take it, which may take me out of the country for even the One Life to Live fan lunch.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, well, you know what?
I'm not sure yet.
You got to do what you got to do for yourself, and that's
the
way that
it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Absolutely.
And,
you can't turn something like that down. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, and as I said, I need to be working, so I don't want to sit on my butt on this summer. I may do a music thing in July. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of writing some new songs. I will do it. I just it's been a very strange year. Last year I had a sciatica problem, which I completely cured.
Mm-hmm.
A jogging accident. Not an accident exactly, but I jogged a little too hard on New Year's Eve. They do this big run in Central Park, and I was jogging, going one direction and looking at the fireworks in the other direction, which just made my body feel like a pretzel.
Wow.
So that wasn't any good. And now
mm-hmm.
I've got some kind of like a little throat infection, which is just making me not want to sing. I had to sing last night, and I had to take a lot of cough medicine. So my body might be run down, and I think I've stressed out a lot. I think as much as I love this job, and God knows I love this part, this job has confused me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff that I know in life, I really know, and the stuff that I don't know, I don't know, and, you know, I don't try to know it. But this job has kind of confused me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I try to give the writers five different places to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And really work on this chemistry with characters, and then there's no continuity with it.
Right.
And I suppose, and I know Brian Franz has a great deal of respect for me, but I just, I'm just not one of, he just doesn't relate, I suppose. And I guess if Brian doesn't relate or doesn't really want me to have a storyline, I don't get a storyline.
Right.
And I suppose it's just as simple as that.
Right.
Why that would be, I don't know. Because I have a lot of really goodwill towards me.
Well, you know what it is? It's all about the almighty dollar, and they're trying to change, in my opinion, they're trying to change the target audience, and they're going for kids from 18 to, I think it was 30 or 35 or something like that, that they were focusing in on, you know, the kids that watch the OC and One Tree Hill and stuff like that.
I know they
it's not the
audience. That
audience,
right. But
no.
It's not really. But I happen to actually think that Roxy, that people relate to her. I think really young. You know, I get stopped by young kids all the time.
Yeah,
about Roxy.
Yeah.
They love this character.
Right. Well, you know, I'm just hoping that they don't do to One Life to Live what they did to All My Children. And just like, oh, please. They just totally recast everybody and brought all these little kitties in and they undercut the vets, and it seems like, you know.
Well, obviously, this is what's happening. Now, what does a person do? I mean, you know, and All My Children, to their credit, they brought back Darnell Williams, who I adore, and Debbie. And, I think they know that they have to have some generational stuff. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't understand.
Yeah.
So I can't talk about what I don't understand because I just.
Well,
you
I'll
know.
Tell you, everybody in the chat room.
You're not getting any younger. You know, in life we don't. You know, there's no reversing.
Right, but you know what, Eileen? you're still beautiful and you still look just as young.
Amen to that.
I take very good care of myself, you know.
And you're very beautiful. I mean, for those who didn't hear, I did have the pleasure of meeting Eileen, and we sat and we talked, and she's a beautiful woman. And you know what? It's ageism should be outlawed when it comes to stuff like that, because
it is. We don't know how to, as actresses, because it particularly happens to actresses, we really don't know how to legally handle this, because if you become a squeaky wheel in this, you can get blackballed.
Right.
People
right.
Unless women wanted to band together and go, we're not taking this. You know, just like African Americans go, you know, we're not taking this. And Hispanic, you have to hire a certain amount of, you know.
Absolutely.
Sometimes, you know, you feel on certain shows, they won't hire, you know, a black person unless you make them, which is crazy, or an Asian person. It's insane.
Right.
What world are we living in? What country are we living in? It's insane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who they think their audience is, but I know the audience because I'm out there on the street.
That's right, you are. And speaking of your audience, let's segue into some of your adoring fans that are on hold.
Great.
Okay, I'm bringing on the phone area code 585. You're on the phone with Eileen, Joanne, and Tony.
Hello?
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 You're on the air.
Hi, this is Ruth.
Hello, Ruth.
I keep in touch with you, Joanne.
Hi, Ruth. Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Hi, good. Eileen?
What's up, Ruth?
Not much, but I adore you, and I love you, and
thank
I am
you
going
so much.
To be writing into you.
Oh.
I am going to start my letters coming in to Ron and Brian. I'm definitely going to do that for you.
I don't know if they'll listen, but, you know, you never know.
I write in all the time for other members of the cast, and you're going to be on my list now.
Thank you very
much. I'm Ruth from Rochester, New York.
Wow.
You've sent me a picture.
Uh-huh.
And I told you you are rocking, and you told me to keep watching.
I remember.
Yep, and you'll keep rocking.
Thank you.
And I watched you on Ryan's Hope, and you were wonderful.
I think you are
just a fine lady.
Thank you so much.
So glad that Joanne has had you on her show, and I couldn't be more pleased that I joined this chat, and my heart breaks for you.
I'll be okay. You know, maybe... You know, maybe my days are kind of numbered here. I don't know.
Maybe
bite your tongue, darling. Bite your tongue.
I don't know.
Stay positive, Eileen. Stay positive.
That's right. You're going to think positive because we're going to fight for you.
Thank you.
God damn right.
Yes. Definitely have to organize something.
All right,
Ruth. Well, I thank you so much for calling in, Ruth, and touching base with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you
Ruth.
So much for having me. And Roxy.
Okay, keep rocking in Rochester.
Roxy.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night, Ruth.
Good
bye,
night.
Ruth.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Ruth.
Good night.
Good night. She's a sweet lady. She emails me all the time on MySpace. And, I'm glad she got a chance to call in and talk to you. She was excited about it.
Oh, that's great. I remember getting correspondence from her.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
See, look, these people in the chat room are going absolutely crazy. And they are going to they're starting up a whole campaign for you as we speak.
Yes.
So, trust me, it'll get around, Eileen. It'll get on. Exactly. Haley in the chat room is saying, Roxy,
the weird thing
is
like, the weird thing is that shouldn't really, it shouldn't even come to that.
You're absolutely
right.
It shouldn't.
I mean, that's the weird thing, and that's the thing I can't quite figure out, but, you know.
Right.
I
it's how
know.
It even
I go, like,
got
what
that
do
far.
I know?
Right.
You know.
No, I totally
how many
agree.
How many people listen to this, would you say?
Oh, gosh. Well, right now, see, it depends on, right now there are 10 active users that are registered to Blog Talk Radio. I have no way of telling who's listening live.
Right.
But whoever doesn't listen live usually downloads the show after it's over. And the most downloads of a show that I've had so far is almost 2,000.
Wow.
And that was for
Brandon, you know.
Yeah, that was for Brandon Barash from
General Hospital.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was the most popular one because all these young girls, what these young girls are looking for. You know, the Brandon Barashes and the Steve Burtons, you know, so they yeah, they're going to go crazy over that.
Right.
But you know, trust me, this show is going to go over because what I do when I'm done is I post it in MySpace. And I post it on my blog. And you can absolutely download it yourself. You know what I mean? And you can post it on your website. You know, it's totally out there now. So it'll definitely get out there. So, all right, let's move on to the next caller. Well, this is a blocked number. Hi, you're on the phone with Eileen Kristen. Who am I speaking with?
This is Janet.
Hi.
Janet?
Hi, how are you, Eileen?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm hanging in
Great. It's so good to talk to you. I've written
you
a couple of times, and you've been so great about answering, but my question is, what has been your favorite storyline so far?
Oh, you know, definitely the stuff that I had with Max, with Jim DePaiva. Definitely that stuff in the first year. The whole Vegas thing when we got married during that live week. I think that was exceptional.
Oh, I think you guys did awesome.
The wedding scene that we had is one of the funniest. First of all, Joe Grafazzi, who's a movie actor, was hired as the guy who married us, you know, in his little wedding chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked in that day and I saw Joe Grafazzi there, I said, we are going to kill in this scene. It's going to be so funny. And I thought Jim DePaiva did such an amazing job. And I had great stuff with him when I came in and I decided that that bar that he owned, I was going to take half of it. And I was just going to set up my half of that bar. And the fights that, you know, we had, and I just thought they were going in a really great, great place. And all of a sudden, it just...
Well, I miss those days, and I look forward to you being in the storyline soon. And along with everybody else, I think that we'll all support you and hope to see you on the show more.
Well, thank you. I mean, it takes a village, obviously, because I just... This summer, you know, I was just saying, this summer I'm only... I'm just working a couple of times in July, and then August I may go away to do this other work. And... I don't know, you know, I don't know, there seems to be no master plan here for this character, which is a shame. I mean, I don't know, you know, so we'll see, but whatever help anybody, you know, wants to, you know, whatever observations people have, you know, if they send them to the powers that be, great.
Well, we're here for you,
and
we look forward to seeing you on the show more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For calling.
Thanks, Joanne.
Okay, the next caller we have, Eileen, her name is Maggie. She's extremely loyal to the show, and she's a huge One Life to Live fan. In particular, she's a youngin' girl who is in love with Brandon Buddy.
Oh,
yeah. So I'm gonna bring her on now. Hold on
a
second. Where'd you go, Maggie? Maggie, you're on the phone with Eileen.
Hello?
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I feel so bad for you. I love you and want to
Oh, thank you.
And I don't know why they don't let me on the show anymore. I feel so bad for you.
Oh, and don't feel so bad for me. Don't. I mean, I'm just feeling sorry for myself, you know. It's a side of me people don't see very often. I'm feeling vulnerable. I've got a sore throat. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I worked all day long yesterday, and I had a little bit of a tough time yesterday, and then I did a benefit for my theater company that I'm very much a part of and on the board of directors for, and I had to work very hard. I did a little musical number because I was in the original company of Grease, and we were honoring Jerry Zaks, who's a big Broadway director, and I had done Grease with him. He was an actor in that with me, and we did a song from Grease. Instead of Freddie, My Love, we did Jerry, My Love. Very funny. So don't feel so sorry for me. I'm just feeling a little crispy around the edges today.
Yeah. Do you look like Kristen Austin?
What about Kristen? I love her, first of all.
You work with her.
I don't get a chance to work with her at all.
Why?
I haven't had a scene with Kristen in 5 years.
Wow.
But she is such a wonderful girl.
Yes, Maggie.
She's got such
Maggie
a wonderful
Maggie wants me
family.
To try and get Kristen on the show.
Well, maybe I'll say something, you know, to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brandon Huddy's coming on next week, Maggie.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not next week. July 8th.
July
8th. Sorry. I'm like a week ahead of myself.
Do you look like Brandon Huddy?
Do I? I'm
no,
sorry.
She hasn't been able to work with Brandon.
Worked with him maybe once. I think I worked with him maybe once. I came over to him once when I went to the high school, and I said to him, if you're doing Grease and you're looking for someone to play Miss Lynch, I'll do it, you know, which I did, you know, with that line wasn't in there, but I figured because a lot of people do know that I was the original Patty Simcox in Grease.
In Grease,
really?
Absolutely.
So, but I just thought it would be a goof to say Miss Lynch.
Yeah.
I actually like to do my favorite character, and it was Marty. So I'd like to play Marty. But I'm still a little too old to do that.
Yeah. Ooh, dog food bar. Ooh, dog food bar. Deep here, Aton. What? And deep walking on the door. I will be a runner up the reap.
Well, thank you so much for.
Okay, Maggie. Well, thanks for calling.
I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Maggie.
Bye, Maggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so sweet. She is like die hard Kristen Alderson and Brandon Buddy fan.
Uh-huh.
So when I told her that Brandon was coming on, she went absolutely nuts. And now it's when are you going to get Kristen?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Brandon can get her to do it.
Yeah, well, I put it out there to his publicist, but he's got a new publicist and she doesn't have any contact with the actors. So, but Kristen doesn't have anything on IMDb for contact information. And, you know, I can't go through.
Well,
I
know her agent very well because we have the same agent.
Oh, really?
Yes, we do.
Gold Baines.
Okay.
We'll talk further about that.
We'll talk about that. But in the meantime, we have some more people that want to talk to you. Let's see here. Zach from Michigan has a question for Eileen. Joanne, I'm wondering what it's like to have Forbes March gone from the show. I don't mean to make this about him, but I know that he and Eileen had many great scenes together.
Yeah.
I love Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We had some great scenes.
Yeah.
And for a while I thought maybe we were going to find out that he was my son or I don't know, some wacky thing or something. I don't know.
Right.
I love Forbes. We had some really good stuff. And I don't know why they made that decision either. I mean, really, I have no clue about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Not a thought about that because that came as a surprise.
Yeah, well, he said that himself in one of the soap rags that he was just dumbfounded that he couldn't believe it was
going
that way for himself.
You know,
yeah.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I just, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It really hurts. Mm-hmm. And he's a family man. He's got two kids.
Yeah, right.
And
I mean, it's not easy living in Manhattan with no job,
Not at all. He's got a good attitude, though. You know, he's got a good attitude. Look, one door closes, you know.
Right.
Hopefully
another one opens. Well, I heard him saying that because on all my children, they had kept mentioning the possible return of Scott Chandler, who he played on All My Children.
Well, maybe that's
exactly
what's
going to walk over. Right, yeah, who knows. But he'll be around. They're saying thank you. They appreciate you answering the question.
Oh, no problem.
Yes. So, okay, we're going to go over here now to area code 718 up there in your neck of the
woods. All right, Brooklyn or Bronx or Staten Island.
Somewhere over there. Hello. Oh, yeah,
hello?
One of them. Hi, 718.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who's this?
Lisa from Brooklyn.
Hey, how are you?
I am originally from Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn, and I lived there for 13 years. Where do you live?
I live in Sheepshead Bay.
Wow. Lundy's.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of my childhood in the original Lundy's.
Yeah, they closed it down.
Well, the original closed down, but there is a new Lundy's, isn't there?
The entire thing is gone now. It's
gone?
It's gone, yeah.
But didn't they open up a new Lundy's?
He did, but it's gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was just there a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so was I, and because I usually have my staff party at the end of the summer there, and
right.
It's gone now.
Wow.
Yeah. I just have to tell you, I absolutely love you on the show. You and Jason.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing chemistry. You guys are hysterical together.
I'm sorry, with who?
JP.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are hysterical, and I love watching you guys together.
Oh, thank you.
Getting back to what you were saying earlier about, I know you were Patty Simcox in Greece.
Yes.
I wanted to know if you were in any other shows besides for Greece.
Well, I did another Broadway show when I was about 15 years old called Henry, Sweet Henry, that was based on The World of Henry Orient, a really beautiful movie with Peter Sellers. And we opened on Broadway, and we closed very shortly after that. So,
right.
You know, before I did Grease, I did this show. And I traveled, you know, throughout the country in a comedy review when I was about 17. This is all when I was in high school. And it was a review called The Six New Happenings, and it was music and comedy. And then I did this movie called Preacher Man, and then Grease came along.
Right.
And then I left Grease after 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and Ryan's Hope came along, and I didn't really want to do a soap at all. I thought of myself as a comedian.
Yeah.
But my agent said, oh, you know, it won't last longer than 6 months.
Right.
But
yeah,
it did. Cause
I saw you actually in a video on YouTube getting interviewed after the revival of Grease came out. And that's
right.
How I found out you were in it.
Oh, yes.
I'm a big Broadway junkie, so.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Are there any shows, have you seen any shows recently?
In the Heights is a killer. I loved it. I'm seeing it again for the second time, and I don't go to see any Broadway show more than once usually. But I have a friend in it, Doreen Montalvo, and I'm going to be writing some music for her next CD, I believe, because I write music. And she needs a Latin number, so I think she's going to be doing a version of a song that I did on SoapNet once, on Soap Talk, called Rise to the Occasion.
Okay.
And I think she's going to do it in Spanish.
Well, yes, I really want to see that show. I heard it's amazing, I heard.
It's really fabulous.
Yeah, because I saw the performance on the Tonys, and after that...
Oh, it's the best. It's really the best.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to everybody,
oh.
And you're doing such a great job on the show.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Bye, Joanne.
Thank
Have
you.
A great night.
Say
bye, sweetheart. You too.
Funny.
I'm actually with Larissa, so she says hi.
Oh, okay. Tell her I said hi.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank
you.
You too.
Bye.
You too. Oh, gosh, Tony, don't we have, like, the best audience?
Oh, no question about it. And speaking of which, you just mentioned about the castmates. What is it like work? I know you work with JP a lot, but you also work with another actress that I adore who plays Natalie, Melissa Audra.
Oh, she's great. She's great. She's such a pro, you know. She really works hard. You know, she has a lot of emotional things she's got to do, and she's terrific. She's getting married very soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard that. But when the scenes I love when you guys do the scenes together and those hilarious things you do when Roxy and Natalie and Rex were together. But when you three got together, it was like a sitcom, you know?
Yeah.
You got me laughing like a mile a minute.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, you know, maybe they'll do it again sometime. You know, whatever seemed to work, they don't want to do.
Yeah, after all this mess, calm down.
Whatever works, let's not do that again.
Right. Yeah.
I can't figure that out, but oh, that was great. Let's never do that again.
Mhm.
Alright.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, get
all right,
ready to sit down.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. We got another caller, area code 949.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
sure.
This is Crystal. Hi, Joanne. Hi, Eileen. It's Crystal from California.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
Where in California are you?
I am in a little town called Canyon Lake. I don't know if you know California at all, but the southern part. And it's down by Temecula area.
Oh, yeah.
You know where Temecula is?
Yes.
It's just a little bit north of there. A little tiny community on a lake, so it's nice.
Oh, sounds nice.
Yeah, it's been really
hot
lately.
Yeah,
it was really hot. It was over 100. It was running around 105, 107, but it
crazy.
Just
That's
it just
crazy.
Dipped down. I know it's very crazy. My husband likes it, but he's nuts. I went out to Las Vegas for the view taping, and I came back, and it just dropped down 20 degrees yesterday, and I was like, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Finally, but anyway, I met you at the fan club events out in New York, and then I came down to your Prohibition to hear you sing.
Oh.
We had a chat down there.
Thank you. I mean, I know if I saw you, I'd know you in a minute, you know.
Well, you said to me at the time, I'm trying to think of the fan club event, you said that you were looking at me for a long time because we look a bit alike.
Uh-huh.
And you said you're another Roxy.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. I got it now. I got it.
I think we talked about your father, if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Really, I think we talked about your father a little bit.
Well, he passed away in February.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you know, he was not doing well. He was almost 90 years old, and his body was getting weak.
Bless his heart, he lived to 90 years old.
Isn't that amazing?
That's very cool, actually.
I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's not very often these days. The guy makes it that long, so that's
great. It's true. It's true.
No, most men don't make it past 71. Seems like 70, 71 these days. That's all I ever hear.
You know,
tragic
about Tim Russert and George Carlin. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right.
For example, two great people we lost in about a week span.
Exactly.
Right,
but anyway.
We lost a great dancer, Sid Charisse, one of the greatest dancers of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old he was. 86?
Yeah.
Yes, it was 86.
Well,
don't do your thing. You have one life to live. You just
that's
enjoy
right.
it.
That's right.
Oh, I know. That's right. I was just at the Emmys. You weren't there, were you?
No.
You
no,
skipped.
I wasn't
you played
there.
Hooky. You
no,
played
I
hooky.
Didn't play hooky. No, 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 no.
No.
Me. I'm not
how does it? How does it? No. How does it work? Like
I'll
do you
tell
get.
You how it works.
Do they pick?
He's
gonna
tell you, Crystal.
I'm gonna tell
huh?
you, Crystal. If you shut up, I'm gonna tell
okay.
you.
Okay. Oh, gotta love you. You're exactly like I am. Go for it. Tell me. And by the way, I want to know where
for
you're
the
going.
Most part, shut up. For the most part, if you're on contract, they invite you to the Emmys. If you're not on contract,
you're
you don't get shit. And
I would have paid for your ticket. I had an extra ticket out here. I would have flown you out here.
Oh, you sweetheart. You know.
Seriously.
It's very weird, you know, and it's particularly weird after you've been nominated, and then the next thing you know, you're off a contract and you're not even invited.
Well, you and Forbes March, I mean, it was like, that's just stunk, that whole deal.
Well, the whole thing with Forbes really stunk, actually.
I know. I really like him a lot, too, so it was like, I don't know. I did see Melissa. She looked really pretty.
Uh-huh. Well, she's a beautiful girl.
She had a, got a picture with her. She had a lilac colored dress on, and it was so beautiful on her.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, is that what color it was?
On television,
yeah, it looked like it was royal blue.
No, not at the Emmys. This was the night before the Emmys when she came in. She came walking into the hotel looking like drop dead gorgeous. Well, she was going to the SoapNet party, so everybody was getting decked out for the SoapNet party.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway, I was so bummed out when General Hospital won again. I was like, oh, my God.
I was sitting next to Tony. I really do think Golden Globe should have won. I really do.
Oh, definitely. Well, I was sitting next to Tony Garry when they called it, and I looked at him, and I go, I'm sorry, but I was really hoping for One Life to Live. I literally said that to him. I said, they had a hell of a year. You know, they've been doing fantastic even this year, you know.
Yeah.
And, I'm normally an All My Children person, but I've told everybody that forget All My Children right now. Just keep watching One Life because it's been really good.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
But
I
got to tell you something real funny real quick. I fell on the way out of the Emmys. I fell down and I broke my foot, and guess who called?
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody was talking about you the other day.
Yes.
I
don't know who it was talking about
Brian
me. But
Kerwin?
But, oh, Brian was talking about it?
Or John
Yeah,
Robinson.
It was Charlie, yeah. No, it was Brian.
It was Charlie. It was
Brian Kerwin.
Brian, because weren't
Brian
you...
Brian Kerwin.
Were you sitting in his seat or something and you had to get up?
No, I wasn't sitting in his seat. I was just... He was in front of me when I was going towards the exit door. And, and I didn't see this one stupid step. I didn't see it, and I fell.
Oh.
It was after the Emmys were over. And I fell, and I broke my foot, and I'm telling you, everything fell out of my dress. Everything fell out of my gown, and he kind of smiled and kind of laughed, and then he goes, oh, my God, are you hurt? And he's like, you may want to kind of tuck that back in, and I go, I don't care. And he's trying to help me tuck my body parts back into my dress. It was interesting.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm so sorry you broke your foot.
Is
this your ankle?
It's the bone, I don't know what you call it. They just said my upper foot bone. It's on the outside, that big round bone on the outside.
Yeah.
So that thing there. But it's only, the good news is it's only a hairline fracture. And they told me not to walk on it or step down on it for 2 weeks and to use my crutches, and I drove to Las Vegas the next day.
Oh, boy.
And I'm fine. I'm totally fine. It's all cool. But the great thing was that Brian picked me up. It was so cool. And I just thanked him, and he stayed with me for about a half hour.
Made an impact on it because he talked about it yesterday.
I'm going to send him a picture of my foot. It's so disgusting looking. It looks like the elephant man's foot or something.
You should send it, though.
I swear to God, I'm going to send him a thank you card with a picture of my foot.
Oh, Crystal.
I love it.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. He's got a great sense of humor. I adore him. I absolutely
Good. He's
adore
cute.
Him.
Hey, is he married? He's darling.
Yes, he's married. He's got
three
kids
at least. Okay, well, there goes my all my fantasies of getting a divorce and marrying Brian. I'm kidding. Okay, well,
all right, Crystal.
Take care. It was great chatting.
I'll talk
Thanks
to you
so
soon.
Much, honey.
Okay, bye you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Crystal. Take care.
Bye, Crystal. Okay, I got another call to get through. Okay, now this is going to rock your socks, okay?
All right.
Have a girl on the phone who's 15 years old, and she is one of your biggest fans.
Oh,
okay. Let's bring her on. Haley.
Come on, Haley.
Hi, Lean.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, good.
Zach in the chat room had a question and he's asking, what tips do you have for an aspiring actor or actress who is so young and has no acting experience?
Well, boy, that's a loaded question, because you know this is a really, really tough business. So you really have to love it, and it almost has to be like a, you know, I can't explain, but when I was a kid, I heard voices saying, be an actress. You know, it was like, I don't know where it was coming from, but I really felt like I had the calling. So it made me be able to withstand all the hideous things that happen to you as actors. It's very tough business. It's really, really, really pretty awful sometimes of what you have to deal with. And even when you get to a certain level, you're still trying to prove yourself constantly. You're always trying to prove yourself. It's really awful. But what would I say? I'd say to study, to find an acting teacher that teaches young kids, and to study, and then to go probably to a college that where you could major in acting. And but make sure that you get your degree so that you have something to fall back on if you need to go back to school. So I only went to college for a year, so I kind of regret that I didn't finish college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you need that fallback, just
absolutely.
God forbid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say it's not the worst thing in the world to cover yourself.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And that's for anything, not even just acting, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all you wanted to ask, Haley?
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that today I was bawling my eyes out at the Nash's funeral, and then Roxy gets on, and she's like, she says two sentences, but it just made it so much better.
Oh, thank
Aww.
You. I thought I said more than two sentences. They must have cut. See, they might have even cut my lines. But it was funny. I thought it was a nice little bit, and it was very sad, actually, the funeral.
Yeah. I was crying like the baby.
I didn't get to watch
the
baby.
Oh. Well, it's just pretend.
What?
It's just pretend, you know.
Yeah, I know. And another question. Do you watch the show, or... No.
Well, I do, particularly the shows that I'm on. If I watch the shows that I'm not on, I get frustrated because I see where the threads of the story could go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very frustrating to me. But I hear them mentioning Roxy a lot when I'm not on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like they really always keep the name kind of in there, but... I get frustrated when I watch the show when I'm not on. So.
Well, I'll definitely be writing in for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You.
Good night, Haley.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got one guy here, one caller left. Let's see. Brandon, is that you?
It is, Joanne. How you doing?
Good. How are you, honey?
I'm doing fantastic. Hi. Hey, how are you?
Hi. Yeah.
My name is Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that season where, you know, it's all the weather extremes, and, you know, it kind of kills you sometimes.
Yeah.
I was sorry to read, I read the article about your father's passing a few weeks back in Soap Opera Digest,
right,
and I was sorry to read about that. I lost my father 3 years ago. And
oh, it's tough, isn't it?
It's tough no matter how old you are, no matter how close you were or weren't, you know, it's a tough thing. And it was a very well-written article, and you served your father proud, and you served yourself proud. It was a nice article.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You
know, it meant a lot to me that Lauren... Flynn, who wrote that article, she really let my words be heard. Even though, you know, and they were candid. They were very, very candid.
It was a very, you seem very vulnerable and very...
I am very vulnerable. I am very vulnerable.
I'm not sure, yeah. I'm not sure how far the distance was between the actual event and the article. or the interview, but you seemed very vulnerable and very.
My dad passed away in February, mm-hmm. and I had split up. My fiance and I had split up in November, which was something that needed to happen. So I was candid about both things. But my father died in February. So it came out not too long after that.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was a very nice article. And like I said, you know, having lost my father myself, I understand, you know, kind of the roller coaster of emotions involved. And
oh, yeah. In a way, I was relieved that he passed on because he was in a lot of pain. He had a lot of arthritic pain.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, I have a couple of soap questions, if I could.
Absolutely.
The first one is, I'm wondering if you're still in contact at all with Claire Labine.
Yes.
The Ryan's Hope
page. I have.
And I'm wondering if there's any way we can talk her to coming back into daytime, because television misses her desperately.
No kidding.
And I know that her last couple of experiences were kind of rough, you know. She didn't really mesh well at Guiding Light, and she didn't really mesh well at One Life when she was there.
Well, because the people don't understand that this is a very powerful woman. You need to let her do what she wants to do. And these producers who don't know half of what Claire knows, you know, they try to control, you know, don't try to control the uncontrollable, which is, and I mean that in the best possible way. You know, she's got great ideas. She's been an executive producer. And won so many Emmys. It's like, why do you have to, like, mess with her? You know, which is what Paul Roush did, which is what they did with her on One Life to Live. It's like, let the woman do her thing.
It seemed like she had a ton of, especially at One Life, she had a ton of good ideas, and it seemed like she was hampered at every turn. I don't know if it was by the network or by the E.
I don't know, because I wasn't there. I went up to see her when she was writing One Life, and, you know, she looked at me and she said, Eileen, you know that if I could, I would write for you, but I don't think I'm going to be able to, because it doesn't look like they're listening to anything that I want to do.
Yeah, she managed to get Helen Gallagher on for a while. And
yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And that storyline seemed to be headed somewhere, the Mel Hayes thing, and then they brought in Jill Ferrin Phelps, and it all kind of went to hell quickly.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, I'm wondering if you're still in contact with her, if you know what she's up to, if she's doing any work at all.
I know she's got a bunch of projects. Hopefully something will happen, and hopefully it'll happen, and I will be involved with it. I'd so like to work with Claire again. I can't even.
Depart anytime, anywhere, huh?
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Truly.
I also want to say that during the strike, your airtime kind of bumped up significantly, and the rumor was, and I'm not asking you to tell tales out of school here, but the rumor was that Gary Tomlin was writing for the show during the strike. And I know that you were pretty close to him. If I'm not mistaken, he brought you onto the show.
Well, most of the stuff that we did during the strike was stuff that was written before the strike.
Okay.
Now, yes, Gary, I think, as rumor has it, and I don't know officially, but I think Gary was writing, but most of the stuff wasn't until the end of the strike that Gary's stuff got on. And Ron had written most of that stuff.
Okay.
As far as I know.
It seemed like they were headed toward a storyline where it was going to be revealed that Mitch was Rex's father.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that's still in the cards, or
if you know
where the storyline was headed.
Ross, it looked like that was where it was headed. It definitely looked like that was where it was headed. But then they decided, because of the strike, that they wouldn't go there because, I don't know. I mean, it is hard when a new writer comes on, such as Gary, and then is changing stuff, and I don't know. It's so tricky. It's really tricky. Gary was really good to me when he was executive producer.
He brought you on the show. Is that not right?
Well, I don't know who was really responsible. I'd like to think that it was Lorraine Broderick,
okay.
who's another fantastic writer.
She wrote for you on Another World, yes?
Yes. Yes. And I think she always felt that if she had the opportunity to bring me on to something that she was doing, she would. That's why I think it was Lorraine.
Okay.
So I don't know who would like to take credit for it, but I'd like to think it was Lorraine.
Okay.
Second to Claire, Lorraine has such heart and such soul, you know, in her writing.
That's the thing about all these writers that, like, Claire Levine and Michael Malone and, you know, all these people that aren't really around and aren't really in the scene anymore. And
yeah.
You look at their past work and you go, why aren't these people,
yeah,
first of all, in the scene, and second of all, you know, turned loose and just allowed to create magic like they used to back in the heyday?
Because they're, you know, it's like art by committee. And, you know, Brian Franz has a very strong hand in every ABC show, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And, I think the problem with that is that if you have one person who's dictating what all three shows are doing, it doesn't make for individual a show to really have to be a standout in a way and to be very individual.
I totally agree with that. It seems to me like all the writers and all the producers are trying to please that one man instead of trying to please the audience.
Yeah.
It seems totally backwards to me right now, on ABC, on all the soaps really, but especially on ABC.
That's true.
Yeah. Good work gets done, no question, but it doesn't feel like it used to feel watching that network and watching.
Well, I'm
going to
tell you what I feel is the biggest problem, and this is a huge problem. Some of the scenes are only a page and a half. Now, but you can't involve an audience like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it picks up, you know, after the next commercial, and then you've got another 2 pages. And then you've got another commercial. And then you've got 5 scenes, and then you come back and you've got two. You know, Catherine Hicklin really had the right term for it. She called them drive-by. They're like drive-by scenes. they're not like real scenes.
Yeah.
They're like sound bites. How
mm-hmm.
do you really tell a story? If you look at the scenes on Ryan's Hope, those scenes were eight to 12 pages.
Well, listen, if you look at, you know, Claire Levine's work on General Hospital just as early as, you know, as recent as 10 years ago, I mean, some of those scenes were 7, 8, 10 minutes long. I mean, just, you know, just two people talking.
Right.
And it was spun gold. I mean, it was unbeatable.
I know. Well, you don't have to convince me of that. I was the direct recipient of, you know, Claire Levine's
mm-hmm.
talent.
Oh, yes, and I watch it every morning. And let me
yeah.
tell you, Eileen, you are that character on that show that you just want to shake the shit out of.
Yeah.
And I love it. That's what a soap is about.
Wow.
And
it is.
I really, it
well,
is. And I really
wish. You can't get involved with characters if you don't get to know them.
Yeah. And I really wish that they would actually sit back and watch some of these episodes, because that is what I'm talking about when I say soap opera. That's what a soap opera is.
Right.
And the cliffhangers. I TiVo the show every morning, and on Friday, when I'm done watching, I can't wait until Monday because I have no idea what the hell's going to happen.
Right.
And that's what's missing from now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's what's missing.
Yep.
Cliffhangers and soapy, soapy stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Well, Eileen, it was a great thrill talking to you tonight, you are a treasure to the daytime world and to television in general. And
thank you so much.
May you reign as long as you wish.
Oh, well, from your mouth to God's ears, really.
Yes.
Thank
Joanne,
you.
I'm calling in tomorrow night for Megan Ward, so save me a spot, okay?
I certainly will, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, buddy. Take care, buddy.
Thanks.
Okay, right, have a good night, Brandon. He's fantastic. He's so
knowledgeable.
Yeah,
very
he
knowledgeable.
Is. You know, even how I met Brandon, and Eileen, I actually don't know any of these people that call in. I just
right.
spoke to them on the phone. But Brandon saved my sorry ass one night because I had on Judy Evans
yes.
Okay. Now, I don't watch Days, and I had no idea, no idea of anything that she did, you know, so I was scrambling through YouTube and trying to, you know, do the best research I can because her people didn't have a current buyout, so I was like, okay, you know, I could do this, and I was by myself, and Brandon called in, and he knew every question to ask this woman, and he just saved my ass. So,
that's
Brandon,
great.
Yes, I love Brandon.
Love you.
and not for nothing, that's how I met Tony also. Tony saved me in a few spots where I had a couple of guests who shall rename nameless that did not call in.
Yes.
And I was stuck for an hour live on the air. And Tony, I picked up, and we just started chatting away, you know, about everything. So
that's how I
found Tony. So.
Tony, where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Ah, great. Great.
Greatest city in the world, man.
Oh, it's a great city.
Yes.
Oh, so, well, Eileen, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's 10 after 11, and you need to nurse that throat, my darling.
Yeah,
definitely.
I need to take some more cough medicine, I think.
Ginger tea.
Yes.
I'll tell you right
exactly.
now, seriously,
exactly.
I've worked in many doctor's offices. I have a degree in medical administration, so I've worked in many doctor's offices. And one wise doctor that I worked for who I loved to death, ginger tea, he always told me, and never, ever drink anything cold when you have a sore throat. Warm liquids only, because the cold only irritates it. So try that, darling.
Thank you so much.
But I'm going to be getting in touch with you, you know, in the next couple of days or so we can, you know, talk about that other stuff. And
Well, this sounds like a really great show, and, you know, you're doing a great thing for the soap opera audience community. It's just great.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for, and I like to think of myself as the link between, you know, you guys and the fans, you know. I mean, it's, you know, soap fans are the most loyal, and everybody knows that, you know. And I think it's nice when actors and actresses like you and the other guests that I've had on, you know, choose to come on and kind of connect with everybody in this way, because it's more personal, it's more intimate, and we get to find out a little bit more about everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
I've enjoyed doing this.
Well,
now I'm going to go to bed.
Yes, you go right ahead, darling.
Go, you go nurse, that throat, darling, and no
all
talking
right,
to anybody tonight.
Thank you.
All right, Eileen, I'll talk to you over the weekend.
We'll do it again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, good night, Eileen. All right,
good
Tony, well, thank you for calling in tonight with me, and I know that I'll be hearing from you tomorrow with Megan.
I'm right. I mean, Megan Warren from General Hospital on tomorrow night, so
that's right. Keep tuning in. Absolutely. All
right,
Tony. Well, you have yourself a good night, and thank you, everybody, for calling in and logging into the chat room. Once the chat is over and we hang up this phone, 30 minutes after, the show's available for download, and then you can go rate it, okay? So get busy, peoples.
Have a good night, everybody. We'll see
you
tomorrow.
Good night.
Tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Bye.
Good night. Peace.